Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. raining drops high above the chimney top. That's where you find me, oh, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly and the dream that you did to.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and veteran legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I am a full-time barefooter of over 15-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 12 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victims legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have, and the new head of the BIL Legal Services Department. Now, many of you have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, some of you for cultural reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, experiences, reasons, and issues. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can join us by going to freedomizerradio.com and click on the chat link. Check out our website, barefootislegal.org. And our Facebook page and Facebook group. Just go to Barefoot is Legal, and you can interact with other members of the barefoot community during and after the broadcast. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, join our private group on Facebook if you have not joined already. Again, on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. But now keep in mind, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not a place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and dispel the myths and spread the message that barefoot is legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. In the past weeks, I know we've been talking a lot about businesses and all the new employees that are going to be starting employment this summer. For the first time getting out in the workforce, and their feeble minds being reprogrammed to what businesses can and cannot do to customers and how they should treat customers and whatnot. But the big question is, can a business have a policy that does not let you be barefoot in their establishment? See, we the BIL community have rights. And we have the law on our side if we use it and use it right. The law already sets precedents from a business owner winning in court if they discriminate against someone who is barefoot. See, in the past, there have been cases that set precedents for businesses losing in court if they require patrons to wear shoes. Now, in most cases, it's because they require someone to do something that they normally do not do. So if they get hurt wearing shoes because the business required them to, the business is liable, and they have been sued, and businesses have lost in those lawsuits. Many businesses have lost in court for that. See, the law will protect us and fine the business for refusal of service. The law will protect us against discrimination and prejudice. The law will protect us from the hate these Nerf ball-brained employees project to us, the barefooter. See, we are the ones who are barefoot for religious reasons. We are the ones who are barefoot for cultural reasons. The one who is barefoot for health reasons, for medical reasons, and the one who is barefoot for personal choice and safety. And no business owner can claim that we'd be safer if they require us to wear shoes, or that it's cleaner. But the answer to the big question of can a business have a policy against bare feet in their establishment? The answer is no, not at all, and let's look at why. The answer is it's against the law. Yes, you heard that right. See, the whole time you may have been told that being barefoot was against the law, telling you that you cannot be barefoot is against the law, and here's why. There are a few laws that work in your favor as barefooters, first of which is the ADA. See, these are laws from the U.S. Department of Justice that state no individual shall be discriminated against on the basis of disability. They cannot be denied the full and equal enjoyment of goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, accommodations of any place that's open to the public, whether they're a private entity or a public entity. And that's a place of public accommodation. See, the other set of that regulate discrimination is against those that are is the civil rights laws. And every state has their own. Some of them are called civil rights laws. Some of them are called human rights laws. But every state has a series of laws that protect the customer. It outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, and in most states, sexual orientation. So the discrimination based on religion, for those of us that are barefoot for religious reasons, the civil rights law protects that. See, no public or private entity shall coerce, intimidate, threaten, or interfere with any individual in the exercise of enjoyment of or accommodation thereof, or what, as we mentioned before. Very lengthy, very wordy. I'm just paraphrasing it for you. Because discrimination. All businesses, the law states, must make reasonable accommodations in policies, practices, and procedures. So if a business out there has a policy, they need to adjust and adapt their policy so that it doesn't discriminate. Their practices need to be adjusted if they discriminate. Their procedures need to be adjusted. And the barefooter is not asking much. Not at all. I mean, we're not asking them to build special walkways and elevators, and lifts, and neon lights, and you know, all these other things. We just want to enjoy the same services. And we need to start exercising our rights. And we need to start making the law work for us. Now, what happens if a business does discriminate? Well, up until 1999, it was only like a minimum fine of $50,000 for first violation. And it didn't exceed $55,000 for the first violation that occurred after that. The fine is now minimum $75,000 for first violation occurring on or after April 28th, 2014 now. So that's a big hit to a business if they decide, I don't want your $20 or I don't want your $100. They end up paying out in lawsuits. Now, who takes action against the business? I mean, what do you do? This portion of the law is not very complicated. It's something that everybody out there that's discriminated against can do. I mean, the first thing you should do is, I mean, if this is a disability claim of discrimination, go to the ADA's website. If there's a claim against your religious belief or something like that, then go to the civil rights organization. Contact your state's, actually, the easiest way to get through to all this, nail them all in one shot, the U.S. Attorney General. So contact the Attorney General for your state, too. Because they may commence civil action, and they can do it in any appropriate U.S. District Court. You can also take civil action against them on your own behalf. So here we are. You walk into a business, an employee tries to tell you that you could sue them if you get hurt. All of a sudden, they are telling you they are careless. I mean, when it comes to customer safety, the store is dangerous. Now, if you've listened to the show in the past, you may have heard me say that it's almost like that scene from the library, in the library scene in Ghostbusters, where the books are flying off the shelves and there's slime all over the place. I mean, they paint this horrific picture to scare you. I mean, they fear that this is what's going to happen, that the store is so unsafe, the restaurant is so unsafe. I mean, you just have to ask yourself at that point, how does a little strap on a flip-flop going to protect you? I mean, from those poltergeist flying jars off the shelves that land on your feet all the time, of course, you know. I mean, when you're in the store, this always happens. How is that going to protect you? Now think about it. You don't wear shoes, and you enjoy your freedom to go barefoot in public. Would you really sue a business? I mean, really, because you're a barefoot? No, you wouldn't. You would not do that. But employees and business owners like to think that they know it all, and they try to tell you what you would do as if they're psychic, or that they know you so well. I mean, what are these minimum wage mystics in their cloudy crystal ball brains really know? I mean, all of a sudden they become experts on the law. I mean, liability case law makes it, you know, a successful lawsuit extremely unlikely against a business if someone is barefoot in the establishment and they get hurt. I mean, first of all, the barefooter is the one that did that. So therefore, the business isn't liable to begin with. But in order to really successfully sue a business owner for any injury, four elements: a duty of care to the customer, a breach of that duty or negligence, a causal link between the breach and the harm, and the actual harm or damage. I mean, regarding duty of care in general, a business owner is not the insurer of a customer's safety. But some of you may have been involved in a confrontation, and no matter what you say, these dimwit overzealous employees think that they know it all. And they'll bombard you with fake laws, fake regulations, based on these fairy tales that they heard growing up. Well, what can we as barefooters do? Because no matter what you tell them sometimes, they just don't believe you because they think they know it all. Well, here's a few tools. If you go barefoot in public, carry a copy of the Civil Rights Card for your state. On the website, go to barefootislegal.org. You can download them. I sat there for a week revising and making them and checking the laws and everything on it. Pull up the card for your state. You can load it on your smartphone. You can print out a copy. I mean, there's go to Staples or office, you know, go to an office store. Print out little business card sizes of them. Carry a few with you. Another thing that we have is the health department letters. They all 50 states. None of them have any regulations or policies or rules or anything about bare feet. You've listened to my show before, I'm sure. You've heard me say it over and over again. It's just a myth from the 60s and 70s. Department has no regulations. In fact, sometimes you got to love it when a business owner says, oh, it's a health department law. The health department does not pass laws. People think that they are laws. They're not laws. The regulations over a business for their employees, for certain standards of preparing food, handling food, serving food, holding food, storing food, washing food, preparing food, washing dishes. They don't care what a customer wears. Now, another thing you should carry with you, maybe you have a medical reason or a health reason. We do have little public accommodation cards with the public accommodation law on it from the U.S. Department of Justice. Two versions, black and white and color, look beautiful. Put that in your phone, too. Make a little copy of that one. See, having you have this information ready. You have it, the law right in front of you. If they want to dispute that, you can just say, well, here's a copy of the law right here. What law are you referring to? They don't really know. They're reciting fairy tales. Ask them if they believe in unicorns. I mean, sometimes you just got to ask them, what are you talking about? Look at them, just like, as if they sound funny. And you say, what are you talking about? Do you even know what it says? They say health department regulations. And you're in a food service establishment? That's scary. They are saying that they know nothing about the health department code. And that's crazy. Because if they're going to sit there and make up regulations or policies that a health department has, then clearly they're not aware of what the health department really says. And these are the people that are handling your food, flipping your burgers, dishing out fries, serving you drinks, making your steak, whatever it is. If they're ignorant of what the health department really says, why are they handling your food? If they're ignorant as to what public accommodation is, why are they even in this business? Another thing, hey, now in the days of phones, smartphones, and all that, you can record and document these incidents. And when we're confronted, a simple why. Ask them why. Because there's no need to start pulling out all your papers and blah, 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 blah. I mean, why give them more reasons or whatever? I mean, there's no need to argue points that they may not even thought of, that they never even brought up. Find out what the objection is and overcome it with the proof that you have on you. And nowadays, with smartphones, anything they come up with, I mean, anything could be Googled. I mean, you could just sit there, pull out your phone and just, okay, well, yeah, here it is. Okay, sure. Here. Look it right up. Look it up. Ask for their name. Ask them if they're a manager. But always stay calm, explain, justify, and debunk. One thing you never really say, folks, and this is a rookie mistake, never say, well, you don't have a sign. That leads to the Sharpie marker and paper bags being taped all over the place just that they have a sign. Then they think, oh, my God, I have the keys to the celery. I'm a manager. I have a name tag. I can make a sign. And my word is gold. Let him make a sign, take a picture of it, and sue him. But this is what these pre-programmed, ignorant baboons portray when a barefoot patron steps into a business. I mean, discrimination, prejudice, oppression, yes. They are passed down, just like the other teachings that have also since been passed out. For example, you know, a lot of times you'll learn stuff in school. Later on, more scientific proof comes out that really it's not true. I mean, things are not always what people believe. I mean, how many of you out there listening were taught that the Israelis built the pyramids? There were slaves, Israeli slaves. That never happened. There were no Jews back at the time when the pyramids were built. There may have been Israelis, but they really didn't exist at the time of the pyramids they were built. See, in fact, they were built by their own people. And the people that often built the pyramids were also rewarded in having tombs in honor of their service that they did building them. No slave at that time would ever have such a high honor. History, folks. Not everything we were told is true. Pluto was the ninth planet in our solar system. That's false now. I mean, I get it. Some scientists are still debating it. Many credit Columbus with discovering America. And, you know, also debunk the fact that the Earth was flat. But a Viking did that when Leif Erikson actually discovered it first in 1000 AD. See, not everything we are told is true. Or how about this? How about some medical stuff? You ever heard of, like, different parts of the tongue detect different tastes? Like, you know, part of the tongue detects sour, part of it detects bitters, part of it detects sweet. That's not true. See, the entire surface of the tongue actually detects different tastes is not at all accurate. There's different proteins on the tongue that detect the taste of something sour. But the whole tongue overall is capable of tasting all the different attributes of a food that you eat. How about this one? Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, I mean, hey, the great emancipator. You know, many people are taught, Abraham Lincoln did not like slavery. Well, yeah, even though he's the great emancipator, his belief that all slaves should be free actually only applied to slaves living in the Confederate States. In fact, he actually wrote in, I think it was 1862, that if he could save the Union without freeing the slaves, he would do it. See, not everything we're taught, not everything we're told is actually true. Edison invented the light bulb. Edison actually bought the patent for the incandescent light bulb from a widow of a fellow inventor. But before Edison had his lucky breakthrough, I mean, this was there were 22 other inventors that also created the same thing. He just bought the patent. Of course, he was a great inventor. I'm not trying to debunk, you know, the great stories of our history. 13 colonies, not true. The original American flag had 13 stripes that represented the 13 original colonies. Same thing with the stars. Unfortunately for us, it was actually only 12. There were only 12 starting colonies, since Delaware was never a separate colony. Delaware remained part of Pennsylvania until the Revolutionary War. Before that, it switched between Pennsylvania, Maryland. It was Delaware. There were not 13 original colonies. Thanksgiving, yeah, you have a very romanticized version of that. Oh, how about blood is blue until oxygen hits it? That's why it looks like your veins are blue? No, just a trick. Not true. Light's reflected through a layer of our skin, so it reflects back to our eyes and gives blood a bluish look. However, blood is definitely red in our veins, with or without oxygen. See, there are many things that we are told that really aren't true. Scientifically, historically, and everything. Diamonds are made from coal. That's not true. Of course, something so beautiful as a diamond would come from a lump of coal. Diamonds are formed in vertical shafts full of rocks formed by volcanoes. But that doesn't make sense anyway. Coal is not found on the surface of the earth, while diamonds are found in the earth's mantle. And eventually carried up by volcano eruptions, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we can go through the whole scientific end of it. This is not a science program. I'm Nick Pierce, the legal radio guy. I'm not Bill Nye, the science guy. I mean, so many things. There are so many examples out there. Things that we are taught, both scientifically, historically, you name it, that really turn out not to be true. Witches were never burned at the stake in Salem. A lot of business owners want to burn barefooters at the stake when they walk into a business barefooted, but no. Salem witch trials in like the 1690, 1693, and all that. Yeah, of course, it was a morbid time, but none of the accused witches were ever burned at a stake. They were hung. Yeah, they were hung at the gallows. I mean, folks, we can't believe everything we're taught. We can't believe everything we hear. We cannot believe the myths and the signs that have existed in the past. And I'm sure you were also told that if you make funny faces, your face will get stuck that way. Well, that's another silly one. I always love that one. I make a lot of funny faces. Honestly, maybe my face is stuck somewhere. Well, I hope you stay stuck to that dial. Stay stuck to those speakers or phone, whatever you're tuned into, because we have a lot coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In an ever-changing world of political mayhem, raging storms, natural disasters, and growing global discontent, you want to get the real facts on how to prepare for as many situations as possible. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder and executive director of SurvivalRing.org, one of the largest and oldest survival and preparedness websites in the world. At SurvivalRing.org, you'll find thousands of free downloads on every prepper topic known to man and many most haven't thought of. From first aid to storm and fallout shelter plans to alternative technology for when civilization seems to want to fade away, you'll find over 25,000 unique titles available for connecting the dots and preparing for anything. We have survival history, preparedness science, community safety, authentic field training and real-world experience, and more facts than you can shake a lit road flare at, especially for those dark and stormy nights. Come and see what we have, ask questions, and let me find solutions to your current worries. SurvivalRing.org, where our motto is study yesterday, prepare today, live tomorrow. Survival is a lifestyle, but you have to live it to make it. We can help you and your family exclusively at SurvivalRing.org, online since 1997.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We'll walk hand in hand. 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 Someday, deep in my heart, oh.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal radio show on this wonderful Saturday afternoon, just after the top of the hour. And, you know, I could go on ranting all day about all the legal issues and everything that we as barefooters have. But today, I want to focus mostly on the health issues. And we have a very special guest in the studio today. And she's a podiatrist and human movement specialist. Her name is Dr. Emily Splickle. And she's part of the Evidence-Based Fitness Academy. And it's quickly become a global leader in the barefoot education as it relates to fitness, athletic performance, and rehab as well. So I want to just give a very special welcome to Dr. Emily Splickle, and welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show, Doctor.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be chatting with you and all the listeners of Barefoot is Legal. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us, and we really appreciate it, and especially some of the knowledge and just the medical and the you know, fitness and the health and everything that you do as far as barefoot education. So if you want to just start by explaining, I guess, a little bit to our listeners about what you do and the gist of what you have going on.
Sure. So you did a little bit of my background. So I am, you would call myself a barefoot-friendly podiatrist. I'm very open to natural movement. I'm probably a black sheep. I know that I'm a black sheep when it comes to podiatrists and podiatry, in that I am not a podiatrist that pushes my patients into supportive footwear. I don't push them into orthotics. I try to get them out of their shoes. You know, whether they choose to do a barefoot lifestyle, that's one thing. I try to get them out of their shoes when, you know, a majority of their day. I want barefoot stimulation for every single one of my patients. The way that I look at the barefoot is it is a very powerful gateway into the nervous system. So when I'm thinking from an injury perspective or a rehab perspective or performance, cognitive development, things that fall under that, I very much appreciate and endorse the barefoot stimulation for people of all ages to optimize, you know, kind of all of those things. So I'm a clinician in New York, but I also travel around all over the world, and I teach other doctors and coaches and people in movement and fitness about the science of the foot, the science of the barefoot, and how important the foot is as this gateway into the nervous system.
Wow, That sounds very interesting. And when you say the nervous system, and I guess it starts with the foot and all that, is that correct?
Or? Yes. So when I'm traveling around speaking to people, and even when I speak to my patients, I want them to understand that our nervous system and, you know, us as a unit, we're essentially just a big bundle of nerves. The purpose of our nervous system is for walking, and the way that our nervous system is shaped, the evolution of human locomotion, all of that can be deeply tied down into the human foot. So when you're thinking of, okay, optimal neurodevelopment is based around reciprocal motion, bipedalism, you know, keeping the foot stimulated and keeping the skin on the bottom of the foot exposed keeps that optimal neural pathway or neurosequencing optimized. When we wear shoes chronically, and, you know, thick supportive cushion shoes especially, you start to create barriers behind or between the foot and the ground, and then that ultimately leads to a delayed nervous system, or you just stop tuning into your feet, which is primarily what I see. And the more that you become disconnected from your foot, your movement patterns become very compensated. And that's one of the leading causes of many different orthopedic injuries, not just to the foot. It can be the knee, the hip, the shoulder, the neck. All of that does link back down to the foot.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. Kind of like some of the listeners may know this, that listen to the show frequently. I've mentioned this on the air, where I was injured years ago. And I was out of work for a long time. And I never liked wearing shoes to begin with. But at work, I had to, as part of the job that I had at the time. And being out of work so long, I was going to the doctor. It was constantly pain management, medication. And I was just out of work for so long, I never had to put on shoes again. Mm-hmm. It was a long time, almost a year has gone by since, you know, at that point. And I was still going to the doctor, and I was barefoot. And they were talking about surgery to my neck, because I injured my neck and part of my back. And being barefoot so long, I didn't need the medication anymore. They were talking about surgery and how there could be only 10% that's going to work for whatever the issue is. If I was still in pain a year later. But being barefoot, I noticed that really helped heal, or at least alleviate a lot of that pain that I was in.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how it does that. You know, one of the most powerful applications is someone who has a stroke, and then they're doing all of the rehab to kind of get their function back. I've had many therapists say that once they started integrating barefoot stimulation and doing all of their exercises barefoot, that they started to see the fastest gains in the rehab for that patient. And, you know, that's just one of many examples of people who have used, you know, the foot as this gateway to the nervous system. And it's really powerful. It's unfortunate that so many people don't appreciate it, and they want to put themselves in the shoes, especially if you think of the extremes of kind of from babies to seniors. Like, if you're on the extreme side of that spectrum, then you really should be barefoot, because that's when you need optimal neurostimulation.
I've heard a lot about that. A lot of parents that are against even putting their babies in shoes up until they absolutely have to. If they go to a school that would require them to.
Yeah, no, it's the best thing. So I don't know if you've heard of neuroplasticity and that term. That means that's when your nervous system, whether it's your peripheral nerves that go to your feet and your hands, or your central nervous system, meaning brain and cognitive development, that's when you have your peak shaping and molding of your nervous system. That prime of neuroplasticity is between the age of newborn and 4 years old. So really, like, if any child should be barefoot, they should be barefoot up to the age of four. That's the ideal age of peak neuroplasticity.
Wow. Okay. So it makes a lot of sense then as to why, you know. Now, I guess it's for development purposes. And how about, like, as far as, do they walk earlier? Do they have better balance? Do they, you know, when it comes to a child that age?
Yeah, so
or is
when
it
you
more
look
for the nervous
it,
development overall?
Well, no. So when you look at the whole development of the nervous system, you know, there's obviously a local motor side and then there's a cognitive side. And what lays the foundation to cognitive development, almost like our primal self, you know, our primal being and our primal brain is built around having tactile information coming in. Cognitive develops later. That's beyond your primal being. You know, that's something that develops after all of this sensory input is brought into the body. So that's, you can see that, you know, before a child speaks, the child is learning how to move and walk, and they're bringing in all of that stimulation. Their feet are in their mouth, their hands are in their mouth. They're trying to bring in sensory information, and, you know, it's, you should allow a child to be putting their hands and feet in their mouth because it's, that's how they're learning to interpret sensory information. It definitely lays the foundation to higher levels of neurodevelopment. So.
Got it. Okay. And then into adulthood, or how about like, how about when it comes to, I know you mentioned like as far as the healing experience that people who are barefoot have after strokes or injury and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
How about an older age? Like if someone's been like shod, like wearing shoes all their life.
Mm-hmm.
And has there been anything? I know that Alzheimer's is a big thing. I know that there's other, you know, conditions that as people get older, they develop. Has there been anything that shows, or have you had any experience or did any studies on anything like where it re-stimulates them or anything like that in the elderly that have certain conditions that they also benefit from the barefoot thing just because of that sensory,
yes,
neurological thing?
Yep, absolutely. So there's so many different, you know, and there's, when you know how to look for the research, there's more and more research than you realize, which is super exciting around the importance of barefoot stimulation and barefoot science. So one such example is that they saw that when you stimulate peripheral proprioceptors, so the nerves obviously in your feet, that they saw different areas of the brain light up. So they're actually seeing that it's not just, okay, there's the foot and the foot's being stimulated, that every time you stimulate the foot, the brain is being stimulated as well. So then that's where they can start to try to make some of this, you know, barefoot equals higher cognitive development. Again, this is all kind of like newer research that's out there. And then what I can say anecdotally for myself is, I had this one patient in particular. Most of my patients, I end up having them go barefoot, or all of them. But this one gentleman in particular, he was always in these like super thick, you know, rigid orthotics. And he came to me knowing that I look at movement a little bit differently. And he started talking about how he was having a really hard time focusing at work. And he worked for one of the big banks downtown. My office is in the financial district. And he just kind of started noticing that. So then we started implementing all this barefoot movement for him. And then he started feeling much better. His feet started feeling better. And then he told me, just kind of incidentally, that he was like, is this what connected? Because now I have so much more focus at work and I can complete my tasks. And so it was very interesting. It's the first time that I've heard that from kind of anecdotally. You know, I don't know if there's a correlation between barefoot stimulation and Alzheimer's and kind of higher level development. From a motor perspective, when you look at kind of the sensitivity of our feet and the nerves in our feet, when you look at people who wear shoes their entire life, the peak sensitivity of the nerves in your feet is age 40. And then by the time you are 70, you need twice the stimuli to create the same response. So there's definitely a deleterious effect of wearing shoes. We know that, but clearly to your nervous system as well.
Wow. So you have your own practice, and you said it's in the financial district in New York?
Yes. Yep. Yep. So I see patients. I do primarily movement dysfunction. I used to see everything, all different, you know, podiatric issues. And then now it's just complex movement issues and you know, a big part of that is that they know coming in that I'm going to be telling them that they have to get out of their shoes.
Got it. And hey, anytime someone says that, it's a great thing. Now, is this mostly like referral? Like, have they been to other specialists, or have they been to a podiatrist before, or an orthopedic surgeon or a neurologist before, and then they get referred to you as a specialty practice? Or is this like someone hears about your practice, they think this is a great idea, and they want to become your patient, and they just start with you?
Well, kind of both. Usually, though, I would say the majority is patients who've seen, you know, 10 other doctors, literally. We're told that they either, you know, the doctor was like, I don't know what's wrong with you, and that's it, which I've never told that to a patient. I have no idea how, like, I know that, you know, doctors are not, we're not God, you know, so we can't necessarily heal everything and like have the answer to everything, but to tell a patient that is just, you know, that there has to be some other way, a referral, or something. So I try to always give my patients a answer, even if it's like, hey, I don't know. You're not responding to how I normally look at movement, but I have all these other alternative things that I think we should explore. You know, so I give them some option. And then a lot of other ones were told that the only thing that's going to help them is surgery, kind of like what you're saying. And then they come to me knowing that I'm going to give them an unbiased opinion around surgery. So, because I was trained as a surgeon and I've done surgery for years, I've just moved away from surgery, partly because I travel so much. And then my passion is, you know, my eye is trained to look at movement. So versus my hands, you know, surgeons, they want to use their hands. I want to use my eyes to look at movement. So I do practice, not full time anymore, but I do practice and see patients.
Okay. Got it. So for our listeners that are just joining us, we're on the air with Dr. Emily Splickles. She is the Barefoot Movement Podiatrist, I guess we could coin it.
Yes, you could absolutely
and,
say that. That
if anybody has a question or wants to you know, be a part of it or has anything they want to ask the great doctor in our time together, the call number is 319-527-6208. And also our live chat room is open at freedomizerradio.com. If you don't want to be on the air and you want to send us a question, I'll be more than happy to read them off on the air. And so I guess back to what we were talking about. Just want to let our listeners know that are just tuning in. And so as far as it goes, I guess you're not one for surgery then. So have most of the issues been corrected with your method then? Or are you still kind of like, okay, you've exhausted everything and maybe they're is a need for surgery. So
yes,
is it more
exactly.
like a natural healing method versus a slice you open and tweak? And fix?
Yeah. So I appreciate, and I there is a role for surgery, and I think everybody should understand when that role is appropriate, right? Because, you know, many of the advances in medicine today are some of the surgeries and the nanotechnology and the minimally invasive advances in surgery. So, you know, there is a time and place for surgery. And I think all human beings, all doctors need to appreciate that role. Sometimes, you know, doctors, especially movement specialists and therapists who get very into functional movement, very like go hard down on surgery, like, oh, all those surgeons, bad surgeons. It's like, no, hold on. You know, sometimes you do need to have surgery. If you actually tear your connective tissue, sometimes you can do different stem cells, and I do a lot of that in my office. But sometimes you need to understand when a surgery has to be done. So I give a very unbiased opinion on that. I will try when it's appropriate. That's the key thing, when it's appropriate to do alternative options. And you know, I see a lot of plantar fasciosis, so very chronic plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendinosis, plantar plate tears. So they're different connective tissue injuries that I can actually address minimally invasively in my office. And they're technically would be considered a procedure, so quote unquote a procedure that actually used to be addressed surgically, but now can be done minimally invasive in the office. Which that's super cool advancing. So it's kind of in this gray area in between surgery and just doing physical therapy or not doing anything. But my, in addition to what I do, I try to look at nutrition. If they have to do some sort of IV vitamin infusion or do some IV chelation, different acupuncture and dry needling. I'm very into anything alternative, whether it's, you know, cryotherapy or, you know, flotation tanks and salt rooms and, like, I'm very into all that stuff to take, I guess, a more holistic approach as well.
And that's great, because I know a lot of our listeners, a lot of members of the BIL community, Barefoot is Legal community, they're also kind of naturalists, and they also, you know, a good portion of them, not everybody, and they're always looking for other methods besides going into the operating room, tearing them open to fix things that could be fixed other ways. And, of course, like you said, there is a need for surgery. If the foot's not attached to the leg anymore, then we can't just sit there and massage it and poke it with needles.
Right.
So, and rub sage on it. It's not going to grow back. It's not going to reattach. But,
right.
Of course, with the, you know, other, like the alternatives, where, you know, like in my case, my orthopedic surgeon was saying, and two other neurologist and another orthopedic said that you're looking at 10% and they were going to tear me open.
Success.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Success that I would be in less pain, but at least the issue would be fixed.
Yeah. That's really reassuring.
Like, okay. So, but I could still be in probably more pain. Like there's a 90% chance this is just going to put me in more pain and, but at least
oh,
I'll
my
be
goodness.
Fixed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, pretty much, you know, and I, you know, when I talk to doctors, I'm kind of a realist, but, you know, just lay it out bluntly, you know, I mean, let's not beat around the bush, like, give me all my options here. But it was funny because going barefoot was never an option. Now this was back in 2003 or 2004. So, I mean, it's been quite a while. And, you know, I mean, when you look at those numbers and you're just like 10% surgery is going to work and you're saying, nothing else is going to work and do you need a refill, take more pills.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother you as much. You know, I was fortunate because I never liked wearing shoes. I was out of work for so long, you know, and I didn't have to wear any and it just kind of healed itself. So it seems like that, what you're talking about, it, I guess I could be a success case, you know, successful case in that, you know,
oh, yeah.
I have my
no,
testimony
absolutely.
on the methods that you apply and all that.
Yeah, you're not the only one, which, you know, people need to see that and hear that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you feel it, though. I feel like it, you know. I mean, I'm always the oddball, you know, stuff like that. but, I mean, after so long, it's just a way of life and all that. So, you know, it was never really officially medically documented that this is the course of treatment and this is what I should be doing until the day I die. But it was, you know, my own way of dealing with it. And the doctor did remark, you know, they did say that, you know, it's amazing, you know, you don't need the prescriptions anymore and it's feeling better. So maybe this is the best option for you. And I do have part of the medical report where he did say that and patient shall remain without shoes as part of his treatment, you know, for pain management.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess the pharmaceutical company didn't like me anymore because I didn't need 300 Vicodin a month. But, you know, I guess it was, you know, worth it. I'd love to send a copy of this over to my doctor if he's still practicing out on Long Island and just to share this with him. It's like, hey, remember that time when we were talking about this? Well, here's a doctor that apparently we were onto something.
Yeah, maybe he would try it with more and more of his patients. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. But stick around with us, though. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour, which means that no one dropped off a big suitcase full of cash, and we have to take a break for our sponsors. And definitely when we come back, I'd like to see if any of our callers have other questions for you and all that. And definitely hang in there. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. We're on the air with Dr. Emily Slickle, and we will be right back.
Hey, FreedomS, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIO radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. (319) 527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show today. Coming down to the bottom of the hour break and a half hour left with you on this wonderful afternoon. But definitely, if you have any questions or you want to speak or on the air, definitely give us a call, 319-527-6208. Our chat room is open at freedomizerradio.com. Check out our website, barefootislegal.org. And, of course, our Facebook group and Facebook page. And, of course, our private group on Facebook for all you barefooters out there that are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle or curious about learning some more about it. Great network of support and a lot of resources for you. It's a closed group, though. So, again, like I always say, this is not a fetish community. This is a place for people that genuinely are interested in living the barefoot lifestyle. So for all you heavy breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. And we are on the air today with a very special guest, Dr. Emily Splickle, and full of knowledge and information, benefits of living a barefoot lifestyle, rehabilitation, healing, rehab, you name it. We're having a great time. She's been with us the past half hour. If anybody has a question, of course, feel free to call in. I do have some of your questions that I will read off the air. Thank you, Suzanne, Bobby, and John. So I will get to your questions in a little bit. And for the great doctor, Dr. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's been fun so far.
Oh, it's amazing the knowledge that you have and how all this benefits folks. I do have a question from one of our listeners when it comes to surfaces. And
okay.
John, I think John in Rhode Island, unless it's Michigan and I just my scribbling there. It's not too clear, but John, you know who you are. It's your question. I know you're listening, and we'll definitely make sure we get it answered for you. When it comes to surfaces, John wanted to know, are there any surfaces that stimulate better than others, or would it be best to experience all different surfaces? And John, I really don't know what you mean by the rest of that, but we'll just go with the surface thing.
So, yes, definitely ideal surfaces when it comes to stimulating the feet. Natural is always best because, you know, when we're barefoot, it's natural, obviously. So when we're on grass and dirt and, you know, even rocky terrain and things like that, that's very natural. And your foot is designed to respond to that sort of stimulation. as soon as we go indoors and we start thinking about other surfaces that we might encounter kind of in today's society, the best surface would be a wood surface. Again, wood is natural, so it's kind of keeping that natural vibration, which is very important for listeners to understand, and that every surface vibrates, and that's actually how we know how hard we're striking the ground. That's how we actually maintain dynamic balance, is by perceiving vibration. So when I look at natural movement and optimal movement, one of the biggest reasons why I like barefoot is that it allows your foot to feel the vibration. When we put shoes on, the cushion in shoes actually takes away that vibration, and we have no idea how hard we're striking the ground. And that's where a lot of people actually get impact injuries and stress fractures and plantar fasciitis and things when they're in shoes because of that. When we start looking at, which is fascinating. When we start looking at other surfaces that are more like how buildings are built and homes, concrete is awful. It's one of the hardest surfaces on your body, on your feet. Marble, tile, so thinking very unnatural surfaces. And the reason why they are harder on the body is because they don't vibrate. And, you know, striking concrete, if you hit like a concrete wall, obviously, you know, you're taking up much more of that impact. The surface isn't absorbing any of the impact. Those are very hard surfaces. So how that could apply to some of the listeners is, let's say you go running and you're running barefoot and you're running on concrete, you really are facing a higher level of impact forces and vibration forces than physiologically your body can start absorbing. So you'll eventually hit a tissue fatigue point, and then that's where you'll get injured. So understanding that about concrete is very important. If you stand on concrete and you're barefoot, or even if you're in shoes, standing on concrete is very hard on the body. And I have many patients who are nurses or bankers or cashiers, and, you know, they have to be standing on their feet. And that really leads to a lot of the foot problems that we see. It's standing, and it's also standing on very hard, unforgiving surfaces like concrete. When we come to surfaces, So when it comes to surfaces, this actually, in kind of having this question around surfaces, is really why I recently developed a training surface, which is, it has research-based texture to it. And texture is actually another one of the stimulation that your feet are sensitive to. And the texture on this surface that I developed matches how your feet will proprioceptively respond to texture. So this texture that my surface is matching, the research has shown decreases medial lateral sway, which means it increases your postural control. It increases the rate at how you can perceive movements in your foot or your ankle. So that's like an injury preventive standpoint. And then it's also shown that if you use this texture in insoles and you walk around with it, which now you're not barefoot, unfortunately, but you're in shoes, so you're bringing stimulation to the foot back into the shoe, they actually show that your gait parameters changes, which means your impact forces go down, your muscle activity goes down, your cognitive side of moving goes down. So it's all very positive things. So that's really why I've developed the surface, because of questions like this. And then we actually have insoles that came out as well. And that product line is called Nboso, which means barefoot in check.
I was going to ask you about that product line that you have. So there's, I saw like a mat, I saw the insole, I saw a couple things going on there. Want to explain some of that? Because I'm sure maybe John, or a lot of our listeners may be interested in some of this, because I don't know.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that buying a mat to walk on would probably be a lot cheaper than John hiring a contractor to put natural wood floors in and buying stock in Murphy oil. So
exactly. So so as I had said, so Nboso, which if you're not familiar with how that's spelled, is Nboso, Nboso Technology.com.
Now, what does
that's
mean?
My company,
I saw something. Great. Yes. I saw something on the website, and the meaning of that is Czech or Russian or?
It's Czech, and it's also Polish. I just learned it was also Polish.
Okay.
So it means
barefoot.
And
that translates to?
Barefoot.
Barefoot. Woohoo.
Yes. Yes. So Nobosso and the Nobosso products, we have the mat. Think of it more as a surface, so you don't have to train on it. We actually have quite a few customers who are older, and they respond very positively to the mat. So they'll put the mat in their kitchen or out, like next to the bed, so almost like a mat right next to the bed. First thing they get out, they're going to stimulate their feet. You know, some people will integrate it through exercises. I like to put it in my bathroom, because when I stand all day, when I lecture and I teach and things like that, it just kind of alleviates my body. So it is a proprioceptive mat, is a way that you can think of it. So it's a barefoot stimulating proprioceptive mat that is designed to match the way that your foot actually responds to texture. And then we have the insoles, which have that same technology. So we have the mat and we have the insoles. And then this fall, we're coming out with a flooring system. So you could actually make your whole house with this if you want. You could put
it anywhere. You hear that, John? Hold off on the wood floors here.
Exactly. And then, so what we say is, you know, our slogan or our hashtag, because everything's hashtag, is that we are providing better barefoot movement. So if people are going to do barefoot movement, they get out of their shoes. Sometimes your feet are still not going to respond to the stimulation. You have to give them almost like a very appropriate, almost like a hyperstimulation. And then that feeds the nervous system, and then it starts to respond the way that it needs to.
That mat seems like a great idea, not just in your home, but I'm thinking someone that, like, they might work in a call center, or they may work in an office, or, you know, behind a desk somewhere, reception, a hotel, you know, behind the front desk in a hotel, to be able to have that mat under there to sit there almost all day, to have that working for you. Or even just, you know, like you said, in the bathroom, like maybe in front of the mirror, the vanity mirror, as you're getting ready in the morning, you come out of the shower and you just do your hair, shave, you know, for ladies, you do your makeup, stuff like that, just on a mat like that. But definitely, particularly in the workforce, in the work environment, you know, I mean, just having something like that there, because I know a lot of people that will take off their shoes sitting behind a desk. I've even seen some cashiers in food stores and gas stations with their shoes off while ringing people up. They have those ergonomic gel mats and stuff that they'll just stand on because their shoes are killing them and all that. But standing on a mat like that would, I think, be a lot more beneficial.
Absolutely. It's going to have that ergonomic side to it. What's funny is that the effect of it when you stand on it, to any of the listeners that are familiar with grounding, I'm sure that most of you guys are familiar with grounding and earthing and things like that.
Yeah.
So the effect that you feel on your body is actually very similar. Like, let's say if you're just kind of like, oh, your back is killing you, you've been standing a long time for work or whatnot, and if you then go stand on, you know, and do an actual, like, earthing or grounding, and just how it feels in your body, to me, I notice an immediate difference. As soon as you stand on the Nobosso mat, it honestly feels the exact same way as that it does when you do earthing or grounding, which is it's super cool.
And it's an artificial surface, though. It's simulating the natural, you know, ground or something in some way. How does that work, or what's it made out of? I mean, I'm sure there's some proprietary secret that you're not going to give out, but what is it about it that recreates that or replicates that?
Right. So it really is that. Yeah, so proprioceptively, that's what we're stimulating. And then the mat or the surface is actually, it's hard enough, so it's at a very specific durometer to also stimulate the proprioceptors of the feet. So it's all through proprioceptive neuromuscular control or stimulation, where obviously earthing and grounding is more from a piezoelectric charge way. So this isn't via charges. This is more via proprioceptive stimulation. which your body is so complicated that there's many different ways that it kind of responds to stimulation. This one is very subtle, but you definitely notice it. If you have one foot on the Noboso mat and one foot on, you know, say a wood surface or whatever other surface that you have it sitting on, you then really notice a difference. If you stand both feet on the Noboso mat, you're kind of like, okay, I can subtly feel a texture, but it's not like, wow, that's a big difference. And then you step one foot on, one foot off, and you're like, whoa, that's how much I'm not feeling my foot when you're on the other surfaces.
Wow.
It's amazing. Wow.
So how big are the mats? How much are they?
Yep. So they're available on our website, which again is nobosotechnology.com. They're also available on Amazon. And they are the size of a yoga mat. So that's going to help people kind of understand the size and the width of it. They're 5 millimeters thick, and they're $110 plus shipping. They're a little bit cheaper on Amazon. Give you kind of that heads up on it. But I don't want people to think of it as a yoga mat. Don't think of it as an exercise mat, because then the price match to that often isn't appreciated. You know, it's definitely, it's more of a surface. And it took me 2 years to develop this mat. So, you know, there's definitely, I had to make sure that I got that texture correct. I had to make sure that it was the right material that we used. I had to make sure that it, you know, the hardness came across the way that I needed to. So it's, you know, there's definitely some heavy science and development, you know, R&D that went into the mat. And that's really why it's at the price point that it is.
Got it. Wow. That's amazing. But you know what? Think about how much money companies spend for ergonomic mats,
yeah,
and things for them to stand on. Just at a cashier, now, of course, you go into any store, they probably have about 20-something checkouts, and only 3 of them are open. But, you know, I think they probably just shuffle the mats around. But they stand on there. But, I mean, I know how much ergonomic mats cost. I mean, for a company, this is kind of a no-brainer for their employees.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is, I mean, $110. I'm looking at the website right now. I mean, definitely worth it. And
yeah, it's a solid mat as well. It's high quality.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. I dropped the link to the website if anybody wants to check it out in our chat room over at freedomizerradio.com. So if no one caught the address, but I will spell it out for you for the listeners that aren't on the chat. And it's just go to the website, nabosotechnology.com. So just check out that website and you'll see the mats, the insoles. And of course, I did see that the flooring is coming soon. So, John, go ahead and wait to hold off on that wooden floor and wait for that flooring to come out. I have a question from Susan, who was calling in as far as exercising, not related to the mat. This was a question before we even started talking about the mat, but as far as foot stimulation exercises. Is there anything in particular? I know that it would probably be something like if you have a YouTube video, you can demonstrate it probably better than you can explain it on the air. But is there anything that should be done aside from walking on different natural surfaces as far as, you know, just the stimulation that you get? Being barefoot, she's kind of immobile, I guess is the point of the question. And she really can't wear shoes, but she notices that her feet get very cramped and tight a lot. Are there any exercises that can also stimulate the nervous system without having to be on her feet for a long period of time? Is the gist of Susan's question.
Yep. So absolutely. I would recommend, and this is not just for her situation, but for everyone, you know, the most important thing is balancing foot recovery with foot stress or foot strength. So the foot recovery side of things, I often recommend rolling the foot on a golf ball or lacrosse ball or something like that. There's a product called Rad Roller, R-A-D-R-O-L-L-E-R, and it's a very good product that you can stand on or roll your foot on, and then that will break up, you know, any tightness or adhesions in the muscles. And then there's also something that's called correct toes, which it kind of slides on in between all of the digits. And that website is correcttoes.com. That's going to be a very good stretch for the small muscles in the feet. And I would make sure that you're doing that. All of your listeners should be doing that 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night with the rolling. And then if they can do at least, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of the correct toes every night, that would be ideal. And then, sorry, forgot the foot strengthening. Then with the strength is, sorry, then with the foot strengthening, there's an exercise that's called short foot. And, you know, your listeners can go to either my YouTube channel, and I have, you know, over 100 videos about barefoot movement, barefoot stimulation, and such that they can check out, or they can just put into YouTube short foot, and they'll see exercises. It's essentially you connecting or grounding your foot with your digits into the ground, and it makes the muscles of your feet contract, so you don't have to be moving or standing up. My YouTube channel, just so any of the listeners can check it out if they want, is youtube.com/EBSAFitness.
EBSA Fitness.
F as in Frank. EBSA Fitness.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Got it. I'll make sure we put a link in that as in our chat room as well for our chatters that are following us.
Perfect.
And that's E as in Edward, B as in Boy, F as in Frank, A as in Apple Fitness. YouTube.com/EBFA Fitness.
Yes,
so sure to check that out, as well as her website for the mats and the insoles, which is NABOSOtechnology.com.
Correct.
Great. And so how long have you been doing this? I mean, when did this research start, or when did you have the epiphany that this is the direction that you're taking as far as your practice?
So I first started teaching barefoot, so barefoot fitness classes, in 2008, and then I developed a barefoot workout, and it was picked up by one of the largest chains in Northeast U.S., so I started kind of getting press around barefoot and barefoot exercise, kind of first staying around there, and this is when I was still in, I was in my last year of medical school. And then throughout residency, kind of kept teaching the barefoot classes. And then I actually took a break from residency and went back and I got my master's in human movement. And during my master's, all I did was study barefoot movement and barefoot science. And that was, so 2010. And then I started shaping and looking at everything as far as, you know, barefoot from a rehab, barefoot from injury. And then now, what is that? 9 years later, I look at it much more as, you know, barefoot for cognitive development, barefoot for optimal neural function. You know, it's completely opened up and changed everything. So when I first started practicing after I finished residency, I always had this mindset. It's just evolved even more because the science is becoming even more apparent.
Oh. So this is absolutely amazing. So much information. What we'll do is we'll definitely get a link on our website for our listeners, barefootislegal.org. If you go there, you'll find all the links, the information. I'll get this over to the web team for that organization, because there's just been so much, especially links to your YouTube channel and the mats and all that.
Perfect.
Dr. Emily Wickle is has been here the past hour. Actually, what's funny is I've been taking notes as you've been talking, and it finally hit me that I can just go back and replay the whole broadcast.
<It's okay.
laughs> That's how interested I was in this. It's like I kind of zoned out. I'm just like listening and taking notes, and I'm just like, oh. So for anybody that missed anything, definitely check out the archives. I just realized that I could do that. I'm like four pages of a notebook into this, just taking notes. And then I finally realized, wait a minute, I could just go back and replay this whole thing. Like in 15 minutes, I'll have it on my phone.
Yeah, well, you retain more when you take notes. When you're hearing something, if you write, you'll actually retain more. So yeah, it's actually good you did that.
Dr. Emily Splickle, thank you so much for being with us on the Barefoot is Legal radio show. We are out of time. Thanks for being so generous with your time. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for Truth Quest Radio coming on after this on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Until next week, stay barefoot. Why not?